After a rare bipartisan conference in the old Senate chamber, Senate Republicans and Democrats today unanimously approved the rules for opening stages of the presidential impeachment trial. The trial is set to resume with motions next Wednesday, and then with arguments presented by House prosecutors and the president's defense team starting Thursday. The troublesome question of whether witnesses will be allowed was put off until at least January 26th. While admitting that the spirit of cooperation could still break down, senators said today's serious and high-minded meeting of all senators would stay with them. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Moments before the Senate approved the bipartisan resolution on a 100-0 vote, Majority Leader Trent Lott spoke with pride about the way the Senate rescued the beginning of the trial from a dangerous bout of partisan rancor, acting in a way that would be inconceivable in the more combative House of Representatives.
Today we have acted in the very best tradition of the Senate, and it is an appropriate approach for this historic, very solemn event.
Lott half-jokingly called it the Graham Kennedy proposal because it grew out of an agreement between the conservative Texas Republican and the liberal Massachusetts Democrat that opening arguments from the House and the White House and questions from senators could go ahead even without deciding the thorny issue of witnesses. The old Senate chamber has seen some of the greatest and some of the worst moments in Senate history, and the weight of that history and the gravity of the current task clearly informed today's closed-door meeting. As they emerged at midday, younger senators like Rick Santorum and Gordon Smith said they wished the speeches could have been recorded because they abandoned everyday partisan rhetoric and focused on the interests of the country and the Senate as an institution. Senator Robert Byrd set the tone with a cautionary tale from Chaucer about partners who wind up killing each other over a cache of gold. Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut followed with some more recent history, the towering high points reached in that very room by the Webster-Hayne debates of 1830 and the Missouri Compromise 2 decades later. Dodd said the Senate could use that model.
Well, we could use the model of 1856 when Preston Brooks, a congressman, walked through the Senate door and caned Sumner Wells, Charles Sumner, rather, too, resulting ultimately in his death. And the great irony was he did so because he had... He was outraged over the fact that that Wells had accused his cousin, Senator Andrew Butler, of having an illicit sexual relationship. You talk about that. So we could end up doing the rhetorical caning or the Missouri Compromise, and that room had seen both.
In the end, the Senate chose a path both it and the Supreme Court have often followed. Go with what you agree on and put off any difficult question that doesn't have to be resolved immediately. Democrats wanted an early agreement to block the House from calling any witnesses. But as Senator Connie Mack noted, once the two sides got together, it became clear that the Democrats would need a two-thirds majority to alter the rules to block witnesses anyway.
It was a recognition that when you strip everything away, we really weren't that far apart. That if you consider the circumstances that the rules call for a vote on witnesses, 51 votes, and there were not enough votes to change the rules of the Senate, 67. Therefore, you were always going to be subject to someone having the right to call a witness. So then the discussion became one, well, if there are going to be witnesses, can we agree to work out under what conditions those witnesses would come forward?
A bipartisan group of senators will review the options for how to handle any witnesses that might be called, especially if their testimony would involve salacious material. For the Democrats, the risks of witnesses being approved later on are still very real. In a statement today, House Judiciary Chairman Henry Hyde said he looked forward to the opportunity to call witnesses. Minnesota's Paul Wellstone remains worried that the Senate won't be able to avoid witnesses, at which point the situation could deteriorate into partisanship.
On the basis of today's discussion, I find it very difficult to believe that by January 26th there will be agreement. But on the other hand, I still would rather start out with positive atmospherics than just with a straight party vote.
All senators know that there are no guarantees that today's spirit will last, but Washington Republican Slade Gorton, whose early stab at a bipartisan compromise earned him bitter criticism from conservatives, said the joint conference made a lasting impression.
I, for one, will remember for a long time, for the rest of my life, the way in which we talked to one another about our serious purposes this morning when the two parties get together. I think we did what James Madison and Benjamin Franklin and George Washington wanted us to do as a United States Senate this morning, And I hope that it means that we will continue to act in that fashion until we've finished this very difficult task.
The president is asked to reply to the Senate summons by tomorrow. Motions must be filed by Monday, and the Senate will consider those motions on Wednesday. On Thursday, January 14th, opening arguments are set to begin. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, the Capitol.